Lord, give me a sign, is what some people ask, and signs don't work. Is that true? Find out on this episode of Inverse. Hey, welcome on to Inverse. My name is Justin Kim, and in the studio we have Jonathan Israel and Callie. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
We're very happy that you guys are joining us. We want to encourage you. to go to inversebible.org, and we're looking at the topic of beyond death. Beyond death. We had some great episodes, and you can catch up if you want by going to hopetv.org/inverse and look at all the past episodes and different topics there as well. But we're in currently week 6 on the topic of the miracle at Bethany. So we're in John chapter 11. Callie, can you pray for us?
Absolutely. Father in heaven, thank you for these words that you have preserved for us. Thank you for the stories, and thank you for the truths that are revealed there. I ask that you'd guide us by your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to see the truth of what happens after you die, but also that we would see your heart more clearly, and we would see how these different things apply to our lives even today.
Amen.
We ask that you would do this because we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, this this topic, we're taking a much more didactic approach to
like
death,
it.
But what's that?
I like it.
You like it?
That's awesome.
But I like it how it's about death and what happens, and all that stuff. But there's all these, I don't want to say side lessons, but these really core lessons that tie in. It's not just about, okay, when you die, you're just sleeping. There's an experiential component to how we should live our lives.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I've been very convicted on not all the lessons, but some of the lessons.
You're not always convicted every time you read the word of God.
Well, you know, others clarify
all
my
right,
understanding,
right.
And others it's like, man, that's exactly what I need to hear at this time in my life stage. But anyway, Kelly?
Something I like about it, I don't know if this is the right way to describe it, but the way I've been describing it to my loved ones is like, I feel like we're taking an almost antagonistic view of it, of like going through the verses that people used to derail it and studying it, like not being like, oh, we just won't look at those, we'll look at the happy path, but actually you look at all of scripture, because we don't have to be afraid of verses we don't understand
I don't know how many people out there, I mean, you're reading through scripture, I'm like, wait, I thought the Bible was this, but this passage doesn't kind of lend itself to that. And so that's why we're choosing the text that we are. Let's go to John 11, which is a nice passage, probably pretty one of the core passages of scripture. Well, every passage is. Israel, can you read from verse 21 until you get tired?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll read to 27.
Okay.
I'll get tired. When I hit 27, I'm going to get tired. All right. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Jonathan, we can jump all this, but Jonathan, what's going on? And could give us a short introduction to John 11.
So this is a really powerful story, because it's affecting the friends of Jesus. Jesus was with his disciples, who I guess became his friends too, but Lazarus and Martha and Mary, they are friends, people that Jesus would go to kind of, you know, take a break in Bethany. And so over the course of his ministry, he's been there a couple of times, but now he's not there, and his friend Lazarus dies. He passes away. He's sick and dies. Jesus gets the message earlier that he's sick. Please come, Jesus, come heal him. We know you can do this. And Jesus tarries, and then when he comes, Lazarus has passed away. And so what Israel just read was the interaction between Jesus and Martha about this, you know, tragic situation, but Jesus is trying to clarify something for her that, you know, someone is here who can do something about this, even now.
You mentioned that Jesus tarries, and usually when Jesus does these small little things, there's
intentionality.
Why does he tarry here? which also gives us insight into when Jesus tarries with us. There's also implications there. Why does he tarry?
That's a good question.
Well, I think we don't know the answer to why. That's why it's so difficult. If we knew why Jesus tarried, then we would then be able to kind of know, be able to deal with the pain. In some of the stories, there's a reason that is exposed. And you find there's three times, by the way, that Jesus resurrects people in his earthly ministry. Mm-hmm. One of them is Lazarus that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Another one is the widow's son. Mm-hmm. And another one is Jairus' daughter, a little girl who's 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And in that case, in Jairus' daughter, you can see that within her story, there's something else that's happening, right? There's another woman who has been sick, and there's all these comparisons and contrasts that take place, and her story helps you understand Jairus' daughter's story. Mm-hmm. And so in many situations, or many times, the reason why God delays with us is because he's teaching us valuable stories, or valuable lessons, sorry, about the world around us. And these valuable lessons are essential because they actually, they're intended to draw us closer to him. So we learn, we tend to learn more about God's character through our difficulties and through our, through the great times in our experience.
The Jairus' daughter was, Jesus was tarried by a matter of hours, correct? I mean, she had already passed away, and the servant comes like, hey, don't even come because she's dead. And it shows that God, that Jesus had the power to resurrect even after death. But very interesting, if you go to verse 39, John chapter 11, verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. I like the old King James, and Lord, he stinketh, you know. There's a certain humor in that. But when the Lord tarries, it's not because he's late. It's not because he doesn't. He's very mindful of that delay. All the other resurrections that you mentioned before were within that day or very near to time of death. And so the accusation is that they weren't really dead, or there wasn't a real resurrection, or whatnot. Jesus finds out that Lazarus is dead, and then intentionally waits, and it's now the body is on the process of decomposing. So everyone knows that this is a death. Yeah. And so the fact that this resurrection is more, quote, glorious than the other ones is that the delay was proof to the enemies of Jesus. Kellyanne and Jonathan.
Another verse of, I'm with Israel, I'm not 100% sure why Jesus did this. Mm. One of my favorite verses in all of the scripture, it's in this story, is 11 verse 5.
11 verse 5,
yeah. So, but let's go before that a little bit. So verse 3 is, someone comes and tells Jesus, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says what he says about his sickness not unto death, but the glory of God. And verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. And so those two things being true at the same time, of Jesus loved everyone in the story. And because of that love, even though we're not sure why, Jesus stayed and he didn't go immediately.
There are two things here that really stand out to me. And the first thing is that we are here now coming to the close of Jesus' ministry. He's approaching the final, days and hours of his public ministry on this earth, proving to the world that he is the Messiah. And so he is now performing an incredibly important miracle to strengthen that reality that he is the Son of God. He is God, right? And so this resurrection is key to his messiahship, because if he can resurrect Lazarus, he can resurrect all of us, right? The second point is that Jesus, if we look at chapter 11, verse 11, it says here, he talks to his disciples, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. To Jesus, the death that Lazarus is experiencing is just a sleep. It is what, there's a return from this kind of death. It's possible through the word of God, through Jesus resurrecting him. And so from the perspective, because you were asking why would he do that, from the perspective of Jesus, he sees a different reality than we do. We are very concerned when people are about to pass away, and rightly so. That's a totally legitimate emotional reaction that we can have and an experience, and Jesus understands. I mean, he wept, he is there with us, right? But from his perspective, even the temporary death of a friend, he can allow that for to so God will be glorified. And he's not, trying to exploit the pain or anything, but he's teaching important realities, and I'm not saying this is all the reasons why I did this, but I think it's something to consider, yeah. that even when we go through some of these struggles, there might be a greater purpose that will benefit everyone and will glorify God, mm-hmm. And the fact that he, you know, for Jesus, this is not the end. Mm-hmm. It's not the end.
The key word really in this passage for me that I see that's repeated is the word believe. Yeah, yes. It's repeated over and over. Verse 15, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then you go down to, there's many verses here, but verse 26, mm-hmm. whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Mm-hmm. And then she answers, yes, Lord, I believe. I mean, you see, believe, coming down here. There was a Jewish understanding that mm-hmm. within 3 days, people could be resurrected. Right. These weren't like real deaths. So Jesus does tarry behind and make sure that it's, you know, 1, 2, 3, and he wants to make sure that this is a point where people would believe in yeah. him. Mm-hmm. But do they? We know that Martha and many do, but there's also others who don't, right?
Yeah.
I guess the thing for me is, even if Jesus were to give all proof on the existence of God and his whatever, mm-hmm. there are still people out of the sinful heart who still don't believe.
Yeah. I mean,
in the resurrection.
Like the very next story after this that starts in verse 45 is the plot to kill Jesus.
Mm.
So yeah. Some people react to this and be like, wow, what a great man this is. Maybe we should follow him. Other people are like, yeah, he should die. Mm.
Yeah.
And there's even like plots to kill Lazarus, like again. And so it seems to do, the sign, is just intensify the direction they were already going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you have Martha just like, yeah, you know, I believe that you could resurrect. Like, I get it. Yeah. And then, like, so her belief is intensified by what Jesus does for Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
But others who have been sending spies, right, to watch Jesus and what he does and try to catch him, they're using him restoring life as a reason to kill him, mm-hmm. which makes no sense.
Because, yeah, I mean, that's quite irony in that.
Like, what are you doing?
That is such a critical point because, you know, we can easily judge them here, but this comes down to our personal lives as well.
Yeah.
What direction am I going? Am I holding off on committing to Christ because I need that visible miracle? Or do I have a willingness to consider what he's offering, mm-hmm. even without the miracle, as I look to the Word of God? Mm-hmm. Because when we do, we will experience the miracle in our heart, the transformation, et cetera, et cetera. But if we hold off with our...
Jonathan, hold sure. that thought. Also, we need to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll hear from Jonathan. Welcome back. We're looking at John chapter 11 and the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus. And Jonathan, you're commenting on belief.
Yes. What we see here in this play out in this story is that even after this incredible miracle, there were individuals who believed and those who didn't believe. And as Kelly pointed out, a miracle usually just solidifies you and strengthens you in whatever trajectory you were already going.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, what I want to learn from this story is, first of all, I don't want to put off belief in Jesus. I want to have an open heart and an openness to understand truth and learn truth and walk the Lord and grow whatever. But what I see here is the danger is that when I hold off to, you know, or if I have a skeptical attitude at all times, I might even see an incredible miracle and then, you know, what do? They try to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what kind of opposite is this reaction?
Okay. Yeah.
And we might think that's insane, but that is what will happen.
Yeah.
So I think an openness, an attitude of openness and trying to be willing to grow and learn from the Word and from Christ will help us to appreciate then when the miracle takes place and these things take place in our lives. And it will strengthen our faith then in that direction. But mm-hmm. it requires not putting it off.
Mm-hmm. You know? And what's crazy is that in another story, Jesus actually gives a parable about Lazarus and actually mentions him by name. And the purpose there is he's saying, even if we were to give you a miracle, which he does, names him by name, right? Mm-hmm. Even if we were to give you a miracle where to prove that you're Messiahship and that Jesus, you're the Messiah, you would actually never believe a miracle more than you're able to believe the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
A person who does not believe in the Word of God, no matter what happens, will never ever be able to believe in His Word.
Mm.
And so I think what Christ is trying to say here in verse 4 is clearly everything that happens in our lives, mm-hmm. this is, I think, the takeaway from me. Everything that happens in our lives is so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. A lot of times we're thinking about, God, why does this happen to me? Are you trying to torture me? Are you trying to teach me some kind of lesson? Are you trying to twist me to be someone that I'm not? The purpose of everything that happens to us in life is so that the Son of God might be glorified through it. Secondly, I think I never saw it before until you said it, Jonathan, is that our reality is different from God's reality. That's clearly seen in the text in verse 11. It says, our friend Lazarus sleeps. And then later on, it says, clearly he's dead. Mm-hmm. Our reality, the way we're experiencing life right now, as real as it seems to us, is different from the reality or from the perspective that God takes upon our lives. We see things from a very a narrow-minded perspective with a worldview that surrounds only our little sphere of influence, whereas God sees things from a very, very different perspective. Mm-hmm. He not only sees it through our perspective, but through everyone else's perspective, not only sees it through the present, but sees it through the past, present, and future, mm-hmm. right? And then lastly, verse 35, the shortest verse in all of Scripture, Jesus wept. Regardless of our experience, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of his perspective differing from ours, mm-hmm. Christ has the ability, even though he knows he's going to resurrect Lazarus in just a few more verses, mm-hmm. he still weeps with those who weep, right? And so you have this picture of Christ entering into the human experience. And so many times we kind of, when we're going through life, we wonder, is Christ here? Is Christ with me? And here it's a beautiful text. It's the shortest text in all of Scripture. It's the most beautiful text because it shows that Jesus finds a way to intersect himself with the human experience, to feel the pain that the human heart feels whenever we lose someone or whenever we're going through a difficult time in our experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's actually read that passage a little more in-depthly, and let's pick up from verse 32. It's beautiful. Yeah. Verse 32, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus mm-hmm. wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, but one of the most emotively powerful verses in the Bible. Yeah. He is definitely empathizing with compassion for Mary, mm-hmm. but he's also on a different level. Right.
Right.
It says there the Jews were there who came with her weeping, and he's doing all this to orchestrate his divinity mm-hmm. to the Jews.
Yeah.
And he knows the Jews are not going to believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so his heart's breaking for them as mm-hmm. well, in addition for mm-hmm. her.
Right.
Because of their unbelief.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the multi-layeredness of this. Mm-hmm. And the irony is in verse 37, some of them said, oh, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind.
Why can't he do anything?
And the irony is, like, this person is blind because they don't see.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
They're not getting. I'm like, well, he healed. Why can't. And mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to keep reading, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So verse 38.
Yep.
So then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. This is the verse you read earlier. Martha, the sister of him who is dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Mm-hmm. And you said earlier, I think it was you, Justin, about we see a lot of belief in this passage, and we see a lot of Jesus grappling with other people's unbelief. Mm-hmm. And he's not like blasting them for it, like, oh, I hate you. He's just like, can you just, like, please?
He's crying for me.
Like, I really wish you could see it. Mm-hmm. So even there, he's like, didn't I say, like, I would do this? And again, to the people, like you said, the Jews are watching. He's like, I mean, Jesus had said in other passages as well, like, what else can I do, like, to convince you? Mm-hmm. Like, I've shared all this truth. I'm resurrecting someone right in front of you, and I know that you're going to use this to go and plot my destruction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what else am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And I think that might have even been something that's hard for Jesus because, you know, he knew the impact of his miracles on other people. He knew that it just solidified them wherever he was going. So it's like, I'm pushing you in the direction you're already going, mm-hmm. but I'm going to relieve the suffering. And that's just so hard. Like, because Jesus can see so much, like, it must be so incredibly hard to make any decision, mm-hmm. because it's just like you have to do, but it's like you have to let people make their own decisions, and he's going to do that.
Yeah, it's beyond human imagination to try to put ourselves in God's place.
Yeah, it's just like, that's just, but sometimes we, again, like, to me, that's comforting to know that the right person is God, with the character that he has, and it gives me so much more trust in him. Yeah. Because, like, you love me immensely and you love everybody immensely. And like you said, like, you're painting on such a bigger canvas than I can see. Mm-hmm. And that gives me so much more trust with the small sphere that I inhabit.
It also shows the limitation of human belief and God's pity upon that, right? Like, if you notice in verse 32, if you had been here, then my brother would not have died. Mm-hmm. Mm. So it's like, yeah, God, we believe in you. We believe wholeheartedly in you.
Point.
Yeah, so much up to this point, right?
Yep.
And then, man, could it have been that if he was here, that maybe he would not have died? And what God is trying to say is, like, you don't bring glory to me when I fulfill your expectations, you know? And that's so much we limit God to what our imagination is able to grasp.
Yeah.
And God says, that does not bring glory to me. It actually brings glory to you because you have created a God in your own mind. And the glory of God goes far beyond what human ability is able to grasp. And so here God says, I'm going to show you the glory of God. Mm-hmm. That it's not a matter of, you know, if I would have been here, he would have died. That's true. But I go way beyond that. It's true that I could have prevented him from dying, but I go way beyond that. Mm-hmm. It's true that I could have resurrected them if he had just died like Jairus' daughter, but I go way beyond that. Mm-hmm. It's true that I could raise him from the dead even after 4 days, but I go way beyond that. Mm-hmm. Way beyond whatever expectation you're able to present about God, he says, I go way beyond that. And that understanding is critical for us to have as human beings, that God will always surpass our ability to define him, you know?
That's powerful.
Awesome, awesome. Beyond death.
Yes.
Beyond death, yes.
If you can go quickly to verse 43.
43.
You know, Jesus, now the actual miracle. He says, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I mean, this is just an incredible moment. I want to be there. I would have wanted to see that moment. Here we see a couple of things that I want to point out. Jesus now comes to that point where he goes beyond all these things that we could even think of, and he speaks, Lazarus come forth with a loud voice, and Lazarus comes forth. The word of God can infuse life into a dead corpse. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, besides the fact that that gives us hope that, you know, if we pass away before Jesus comes again, he can resurrect us. He has resurrection power. But that resurrection power can also apply to, you know, any deadness we feel inside. If our hearts are, you know, messed up, our lives are messed up, we feel dead inside, whatever it is, Jesus' word can totally transform that and resurrect our lives, resurrect our hearts, transform our lives into having the real life, which is what he's saying. If we go to verse... where is this? Verse 20, I'm the resurrection and the life.
25.
Yeah. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. For Jesus, the resurrection that Martha is pointing to in the future is a present reality. Because Jesus is the resurrection, present tense, right? He is the life. So when we walk with him, we can have total assurance that he, the Messiah, who is power over death, you know, we have hope when we are walking with him, because if he's present, there's nothing we have to fear, not even the death, which is just a sleep to him. Yeah. You know, he's coming to wake us up.
While you were talking, I'm just thinking about just anyone today, maybe a lot more superficial level, but just, hey, there's just spiritually dead, spiritually unmotivated. There's just nothing going on. Right. I can't, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Just, you know, whatever. Just any form of lifelessness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's this is in that way a very direct way of resurrection on a much more everyday but superficial level in a sense. Yeah.
In the same way when Jesus healed the paralytic and he said, I do this so that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to heal sins, to forgive sins. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is the same thing of, like, we're just like, wow, it's so crazy. Like, he came back from the dead. That's amazing. Right. And, like, of course that's amazing. That's supernatural. But it's even more amazing, like, what we're saying, like, I don't think we should downplay it. It is more amazing what God does in our hearts than even the resurrection of Lazarus. Because that's far harder. That's far more difficult.
Yes.
Because Lazarus is just responding to, like, okay, he said, wake up. up, I'm waking up, all right. But it's like to live a transformed life and have an implanted heart by God himself, like that is so beyond our abilities. And God desires to do that even now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's important to note that Jesus does not say, Lazarus, wake up, you know, or Lazarus, don't, you know, revive, be resurrected. He doesn't say that. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Mm-hmm. He's telling a dead man to walk towards him is what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And to emphasize what Kelly is saying, God is giving a command to Lazarus. And in order for Lazarus, that dead person, to fulfill his command, it requires life. And so God gives life to a dead person in order for that dead person to obey. Mm-hmm. That's the power of...
Power is the obedient.
Yeah. That's the power of the Word
power
of God.
Power is in the Word, yeah. Yes.
And so when God asks us to do something, even if our lives or even if our spiritual walk is as dead as a real person, His Word empowers us to do that. That's it gives powerful, us life to be able to do that.
Praise God.
Just in the light, I need to mention this point, that as you guys said, that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He did not say come down, right? So he did
That's
not
right.
go up to heaven and come back down, and he did not do the elevator thing.
And Lazarus
was
wasn't like,
sleeping.
Why'd you take me out of heaven?
He
you're so mean.
That's right. That's
that
right.
never happened.
Well, Jesus does not have the power of life and the power of resurrection. He is the resurrection. He is the life. So Jesus is life original, life unborrowed, life underived, and that is the Lord whom we all serve, and we want to bow our heads before this master. Hopefully that's your prayer. That's ours. That he can give us the power of spiritual resurrection now in the present. I want to say thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week as we continue a study on Lazarus, but from a different perspective. See you next week.